Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
More than a million people in Puerto Rico are still without power after Hurricane Fiona caused an island-wide blackout this weekend. Why is Puerto Rico's electricity grid still so vulnerable 5 years after Hurricane Maria?
The power utility remains in bankruptcy, going on its fifth year now, and is still at odds with its creditors, which has made it very hard for it to solicit kinds of new investments. And when you're just barely maintaining a grid that was already below industry standards, you can see really significant damage even from a slightly weaker storm like this.
And U.S. home builders are losing confidence in the housing market. Plus, the magic number for Porsche's IPO. It's Monday, September 19th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Confidence among U.S. home builders fell again in September for the ninth straight month, a further sign that the slowdown in the housing market hasn't bottomed out. The survey from the National Association of Home Builders measured declines in how builders viewed current sales, sales expectations for the next 6 months, and the traffic of prospective buyers. The association's chief economist says higher building costs and the Federal Reserve raising rates are driving a housing recession. Almost 25% of builders said they cut home prices in September. President Biden's assertion that the pandemic is over in an interview that aired Sunday on CBS's 60 Minutes is drawing criticism from both Republicans and some public health leaders. Just this month, the White House asked Congress for $22.4 billion for COVID-19, including for a new vaccine. The Wall Street Journal's Stephanie Armour says the reaction to Biden's comments was swift and critical.
The things that I've heard in response are, one, this is going to potentially undermine the urgency of getting people to get booster shots, which they're trying to do right now. Two, it could potentially make it harder to try and get this billions of dollars that they're trying to get from Congress right now for developing a new vaccine. And three, the other thing that we heard was that we're still seeing about 400 deaths a day. It's still one of the top 10 causes of death in the United States.
Meanwhile, workers are going back to the office at the highest rate since the pandemic began in 2020. Castle Systems, a company that monitors security swipes into buildings, says office use in early September averaged about 47.5% of the levels in early 2020. Other indicators also show that return to office has picked up since Labor Day. Last Wednesday, commuter trains in the New York region reached their highest level of ridership since March 2020. Still, small businesses that rely on commuters say their sales are far from pre-pandemic levels. Amazon, Pfizer, Hilton, and Marriott are among the 100 U.S. companies pledging to hire more than 20,000 refugees over the next 3 years. Refugee advocates say the move will help integrate the waves of Afghans and Ukrainians who arrived over the past year, but will only impact a fraction of those refugees. Close to 80,000 Afghans have arrived since the U.S.-backed government collapsed last year, and about 150,000 Ukrainians arrived in the U.S., though not all are eligible to work. And one of the biggest events in British history has come to a close. The United Kingdom said goodbye to Queen Elizabeth II during a historic funeral today. Hundreds of thousands of people lined the roads as the Queen's coffin was moved on foot and by hearse from Westminster Abbey in central London to its final resting place in Windsor Castle. The nation observed a 2-minute silence around midday. Flights were canceled from Heathrow Airport to ensure no aircraft noise, and London's red buses turned off their engines to honor the Queen. Coming up, a private company was supposed to make Puerto Rico's power grid more resilient. But 5 years after Hurricane Maria, another storm has knocked the lights out again. We'll talk about why after the break.
Music. WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Utility workers are out across Puerto Rico after Hurricane Fiona hit this weekend. Even before the storm made landfall Sunday, strong winds up to 85 miles per hour and heavy rains knocked out the island's power grid. Fiona comes almost 5 years to the day that Hurricane Maria destroyed the electrical system, and it shows there's still much work to be done in making the island's grid resilient. Joining me now to talk about this is Andrew Scurria, Bureau Chief of WSJ Pro Bankruptcy. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
This is an electric crisis caused by a natural disaster, but you come to it as a bankruptcy reporter. What role does bankruptcy play in more than 1.3 million residents of Puerto Rico having no electricity?
Part of the reason why the grid there is in such weak condition is because of the financial state of the government's state-run power monopoly in recent years, and really stretching back decades, where it skimped on capital investments and generally was perceived to have neglected the grid, which left it in a pretty vulnerable position 5 years ago when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, and has been improved to some degree since then, but is still not in the same condition as you would find in most mainland jurisdictions.
The private company Luma Energy began operating Puerto Rico's electrical grid last year, and that was supposed to make the island's grid more hardy. It's been a year. How's it going?
Yeah, the hiring of Luma Energy was supposed to insulate planning decisions in Puerto Rico from political influence and bring in professional private operators who could drive efficiencies, lower costs, improve service, and fix a lot of the problems that drove the old state-run utility into bankruptcy in the year since Luma has arrived. Its job was really a long-term one, so even under the best of circumstances, it's not totally surprising to see that there are still a lot of problems 1 year into its tenure.
I think it's notable that Fiona is a weaker storm than Maria was, Category 1 compared to Category 5. Why has the result been so devastating?
Well, a lot of the energy grid in Puerto Rico doesn't resemble what it would look like in the mainland, where you have a lot of underground wires and substations that are really protected from the elements. Even simple things like vegetation management often fall by the wayside in Puerto Rico because the resources that the utility and Luma need to properly maintain it are really stretched and power rates are already really high. So the government and Luma have struggled to identify where the money is going to come from for these kind of long-term improvements that take years to drive. And it also doesn't help that the power utility remains in bankruptcy, going on its fifth year now, and is still at odds with its creditors, which has made it very hard for it to solicit kinds of new investments. And when you're just barely maintaining a grid that was already below industry standards, you can see really significant damage even from a slightly weaker storm like this.
You've been reporting on the fallout from this storm. What does it mean for the future of Luma Energy on the island?
Well, it certainly is another big test for Luma. Its yearly service fees generally cost over $100 million, and the idea was that ratepayers would see some benefit from that over time as Luma improved the grid and drove down costs. But having only been there a year, pretty much all they've seen so far is the costs. And that's led to a lot of public anger and resentment about Luma. That said, many politicians on the island are skeptical that another operator could do any better. So for now, Luma is what Puerto Rico is dealing with. And there's a lot of pressure on the company to get the lights back on as quickly as possible.
I reported from Puerto Rico in 2017, right after Hurricane Maria hit, and people on the island pointed to the sunny days, the strong winds. They wondered why there wasn't a pivot to renewable energy in the wake of such total destruction of their electrical system. And in fact, FEMA just announced this past June that it was investing in projects to make a more reliable electric grid for the island. Where does that effort stand?
Puerto Rico depends really heavily on imported fossil fuels, and a lot of its power infrastructure is built around fuel oil, natural gas, and transitioning away from that is a decades-long project for even financially solvent governments. For a government like Puerto Rico and a utility like this one that have such scarce resources, they have a lot of trouble executing those kind of long-term projects. And whenever they do make progress, it seems like a natural disaster like this knocks them back.
Of course, Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory, and President Biden yesterday declared an emergency there. Even before the storm, FEMA said it had obligated over $11.7 billion to PREPA, that power authority, for work projects related to Hurricane Maria, subsequent earthquakes. How much do you think this latest storm might cost taxpayers?
Yeah, so costs for this latest storm could easily run into the billions of dollars as well. And as we've seen, Puerto Rico has a big problem spending federal money when it's allocated to them, because a lot of the power utility lacks the capacity to deploy that money in a quick manner and lacks the resources to do it. So you see these huge backlogs of unspent billions still sitting around from the last major natural disaster. And it raises the question of how to avoid repeating this situation over and over, and how the grid is going to be transformed into something better than what it was and stop putting 3 million U.S. citizens in a life and death situation every storm season.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Andrew Scurria. Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Volkswagen is about to spin off its Porsche luxury brand. The IPO is set for the end of the month. It will be the first time in a decade that shares of the iconic sports car company will be available to the public. And our Berlin reporter William Boston says Volkswagen made a nod to Porsche's past glory in the number of shares that are going to be listed.
The 911 is the model that Porsche is most identified with. It is the iconic Porsche. Janis Joplin drove one. And so they created 911 million shares in Porsche to reflect that. In Stuttgart, where Porsche is based, all of the telephones begin with 911 as part of the telephone number. It's a kind of a symbolic gesture on the part of the company to bring in their most loyal fans.
But while the Beetle maker hearkens to Porsche's past, the stock sale itself is meant to finance an electric future.
They have the Macan and Cayenne SUVs, which are more volume-oriented and sell more cars, more models than the 911. And last year, in a really symbolic development, the Taycan fully electric sedan sold more cars, more models than the 911, which really showed that the future of Porsche is not the 911. The 911 is the company's past, but the future is elsewhere.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.